Toyota locations today. Berwick, Pakenham and Cranbourne Toyota. Kogan Mobile. Get started for just $4.90 for 30 days. KoganMobile.com.au/radio.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Maxwell in his 100th game. 50 off 20. This is Glenn Maxwell at his absolutely brilliant best.
Thompson in. Berwick. Glenn Maxwell works at Lakeside. 41 balls it's taken, and he's got his second Big Bash century, Glenn Maxwell.
Wow.
Lamashane, history at the MCG. He just dug it in short, and he hit it up and over point. And we've now witnessed...
Oh, no, they only run two.
...the highest score in the history of the Big Bash League. Maxwell on 149. He moves now to 150. It's the greatest performance we've seen in Big Bash history. The first time anyone has gotten to 150.
It was amazing last night. It was one hell of a show, and you just couldn't take your eyes off Glenn Maxwell last night, but he's a bit like that all the time. Spiros and Carnegie, as we head back to the calls. You there, Spiros?
Yeah, Dwayne, happy new year to you. Good to have you back.
Great to be back.
Dwayne, I'm just looking at the last test in Hobart, Australia-England. Do you honestly believe, after watching it, that the days of the umpire giving decisions gone, like in test cricket, I mean... I don't know, it just seemed like a bit embarrassing for the umpires how many decisions were actually turned over. I know they've only got a split second to make the decisions, but, you know, it's probably a game where the third umpire could just about make all the decisions. What do you think?
Let me have a think about that. Well, they go to for no ball. They go to the replay, so they don't always call no balls live, but the call of no ball, normally you want the umpire to make if he sees it. That was something the umpire had to be there to do, but now it seems as if a lot of those calls get done post, because once upon a time it was almost, you know, the free hit. If you heard the call quickly enough, you'd get the free hit, but now so many don't get called. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what we need the umpires out there to do. Decorum?
Would you
need them out there for the decorum and the spirit of the game? To hold people's hats? To hold a hat? To give centre, so someone can take block, to give middle stump.
Well, that's all you need. I mean, I'm not being derogatory to the umpires, because again, they've only got a split second to make the decision. But you know, unless it's an obvious one where the batsman might be 3 foot out in the stumping or a run out, I mean, LBWs, caught behinds, they're all done by the third umpire most of the time. Now, if they're in their overturn, I mean, how many were overturned was amazing. I thought it. In the Hobart test, probably more than what I've seen. And I don't know, just food for thought. I don't know. It might not happen straight away, but
no.
I don't know. I just think it's a game that it could happen, that, you know, it could be done using the third umpire to make the decisions.
It'd be weird without an umpire out there, without any officials out there, wouldn't it?
No, you're going to have them out there still. They've still got to count the balls and do.
Oh, yeah, so you've got to tell the bowler you've got one left. Or they have to also call the calling of no balls, not just no balls, but if it's a bouncer, if it's above shoulder height. So they need to be doing that.
They've still got, you know, I'm not saying that take them out. I'm just talking about the main decisions that are made. Like, they could still do all that. That's not an issue. But the main decisions, LBWs, caught behinds, run outs, they all just about go to the third umpire. I mean, they make the decisions. Yeah. So anyway, that's just what I was
thinking. Where does the bowler face when he appeals then, Spiros? Does he face the pavilion, does he? To the third umpire. He appeals to the pavilion.
I've never thought about that one, Dwayne.
Very nicely. Good call, Spiros. A couple of texts. Send your text through if you've got a thought on Spiros's point. 0433 98 11 16 is the number. 0433 98 11 16. Umpires don't even hold the hats anymore due to COVID. Dwayne, yeah, you're spot on. They don't even hold the hats anymore. John in Port Augusta, you there, John?
Hi, Dwayne. I watched yesterday on Fox Footy, the replay of the 1989 grand final. Just that court indensed. It's a mini game that you and Eddie and Dermot and Jason did.
Yep.
A little while ago. And Garrett Senior, yeah, he's probably the most brilliant player I've ever seen. Emil Junior, you can argue, I mean, he might be the best player of all time, but not even the best player in his family. But Yeah, I mean, how come he only won one best and fairest? And you look at a player like Elisa Lee Matthews, who won eight in a champion side in Hawthorne in the 70s and 80s. I mean, Gary McSenior, that 1980 grand final, that's close to as good a game from an individual as I've ever seen. And that ruck, where the boundary throwing came in, and he rucked out of the air and snapped the goal himself. I've seen it replayed 100 times over the years and whatever else. And whatever happened to that young Shane Hamilton? Did he end up at Brisbane? Shane Hamilton, Steve Hamilton, number 25.
Yeah, Shane. Did he end up at Brisbane? Hamo, yeah, he did. Played with both of those guys. Hamo was a great player and a great guy to have around the club. He was
a
lot
nice
of fun.
Lad, nice bloke.
Yeah, really good guy. And Ablett Senior, I mean, for those just to try and put it in a nutshell, Ablett Senior was the greatest of all time in an era where it was instinct. Yeah. I mean, the coaches really didn't tell you. There wasn't game plans. I mean, sure, you kicked to the dead side of the ground when the wind was blowing across there and you were kicking against it. So, you know, don't try and open up the ground to the team kicking with the wind. There were basic game plans. Play in front. That was a basic game style that everybody got told. You know, play in front of your man if you're in defence. All that kind of stuff. But Gary Ablett, it was instinct. You got told, go out there and play pretty much. And in those days, Gary Ablett was the best instinct player of all time. And I still think he is probably the best instinct player of all time. He did a lot of stuff that I'm not sure he even knew he was going to do, but he just did it. And no wonder the defenders didn't know he was going to do it. Things like, I mean, sometimes if he was 55 metres from goal, instead of running forward and taking a mark in a hand in the hands on the lead, he would actually let it go and not mark it, let it get behind him, and let his defender keep running, and he'd turn around and run back onto the ball, and he had an open goal for himself to run into. Little things like that, whereas most guys would just take the mark. He'd just flick it over his head and go back and get it. He was superb. So a great call, and I really appreciate you reminding me of how good Gary Ablett Senior was, because I never get sick of talking about him. Paul on the road, you there, Paul?
Yeah. Just talking about the umpires, I don't know if you're aware, at the Australian Open at the moment, one of my mates is a chair umpire, and all the lines umpires are done with, and it's all just done by Hawkeye. So they don't even have to worry about overruling anyone, or there's no challenges or anything like that. They literally just have to do the toss of the coin at the start and call out the score. So they actually get bored, and they sort of lose track sometimes because they're not engaged in the game anymore.
Yeah, it's not a... We haven't lost anything by losing lines, people, have we?
Funnily enough, one of the tournaments last year, there was almost a huge amount of sponsorship lost because, you know, I think one of the big names realised that all the lines judges aren't there, which wears all their apparel and gets on TV. Yeah. So they almost pulled their sponsorship. So the tournament actually changed back to having lines judges again.
Well, we've got no lines. I'm here, so I'm watching it. I'm actually sitting in the dugout where one of the lines people would have been sitting in front of me. So it opens up the view for me, but I'm lucky. We're here at Rod Laver Arena and we're live. Great call, Paul. Really appreciate it. Andrew Gay's not far away from joining me, so stick around for that. Brett Phillips with an update from Rod Laver Arena. So plenty still to come. Great to have your company on Dwayne's World.
All roads lead to Essendon BMW. Visit us today.
Making SEN news this hour, the Novavax vaccine has been given the go-ahead by the Therapeutic Goods Administration. It's now awaiting final approval from Atagi. Meanwhile, two pills to treat COVID have also been green-lighted for use in Australia. Today's National Cabinet meeting will focus on the safe return of students and teachers for the school year. Free rapid antigen tests for vulnerable groups also on the agenda. Total fire bans have been declared in three districts in South Australia today, and two Air Force transport planes on their way to Tonga with relief supplies following the volcanic eruption and tsunami.
Now that we're heading back to the classroom, Afterpay are back to school supplies. T's and C's apply. Visit afterpay.com for details today. Pay better. Choose Afterpay.
A big upset looming for Aussie Chris O'Connell. He's taken the first two sets against 13th seed Diego Schwartzman. And another upset already complete at Melbourne Park. French world number 61 Elise Cornet has beaten number 3 seed Garbine Muguruza in straight sets.
Miss your favourite show? Want to catch up on an interview? Download and listen to every SEN podcast when you want it. Or on the SEN app.
SEN Track. You can now find it at 1593 AM.
Sunny at top of 30 today, sunny 31 tomorrow, sunny 33 on Saturday, mostly sunny 34 Sunday, humid and partly cloudy and 34 on Monday. And podcast any of your favourite SEN shows and listen when you like, all on the SEN app.
Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Welcome back. We're live at Rod Laver Arena. Downstairs, Brett Phillips is going to join us very, very shortly. And it's great to be back, 12 till 3, Dwayne's World, Midday Madness every day. But then it's going to be Gazy's World. It's going to be, you reckon it's madness from 12 till 3. It's going to kick up a gear when Gazy and Andy Maher rejoin you from 3 till 6 every day. And the greatest of all times on the line. Welcome to you, Gazy. Great to have you back.
Thank you very much, Dwayne. It's delighted to have a chat with you. And let me tell you, I am very much the Robin in this relationship. Andy's the Batman, and happy to be the Robin and just go along and just help out, pick up the ones and twos. I won't open the full face of the bat all that often, but just nudge it around and just make sure the strike hitter gets the job done.
I would liken it more to probably John Lennon, Paul McCartney. That's the kind of I'm not sure who's better, but each has a chance to sing their own songs. I'm going to look forward to the music you'll make together.
Well, here's the thing: if you're using that analogy, I'm happy to be John Lennon because I think everyone appreciates Paul McCartney. That he was the number one man, closely followed by John. But let's not forget, John Lennon did Imagine. So he wrote that song, Imagine. So every now and again, you just got to make sure the big dog understands you got a little powder in the holster, just in case you just take it a bit ahead of himself.
Great to have you on, Gazy. You're involved in the NBL coverage as well, every game live on ESPN through Foxtel and the KO app as well. NBL season's sort of shaping. It's getting some momentum back after a little bit of a layoff, and I'm in that situation, Gazy, where I'm proud to say I'm not sure who in the hell's going to win it. Any one of four or five or six teams could win it right now.
You are absolutely spot on, Dwayne, and it's been tough. Even as we know, you and I are part of the commentary team, and the games, the amount of games that have had to be postponed, I think they're up over 20 now. So they've got a lot of catching up to do. And I mentioned that on the basis that that makes an extra element to it. Well, what's your depth like? There's going to be a lot of double games over across the weekend for certain teams. And some weeks you might play three or four games in the space of 6 or 7 days. So that's going to test the team's depth, and also the fact that the injuries, and we've seen that the COVID, notwithstanding that people might have to have a spell because of COVID, but already, even though we're at the very, played a quarter of the games or thereabouts, already your teams like Sydney or the Adelaide 36ers, there's been some teams that have had some significant issues that they had to deal with players. So you're 100% spot on. I really can't tell you who is the outright favourite, but the same teams we've had over the last few years, Melbourne, Perth, and Illawarra, are hard to look past them. But teams like Brisbane, Dwayne.
Yeah.
A lot of people were not high on Brisbane in the pre-season, but they pick up a player like Robert Franks and Nathan Sobey doing his thing. They all of a sudden, people will just start to say, well, hang on a minute. You don't have to stretch your imagination too far to see how they might be able to squeeze into the top four.
So let me ask you this question. We've seen a number of teams hammered by COVID. And are we to presume that some teams are going to, now that all their players just about have had it, that they're going to be home free for the next month and a half, that they'll be in a situation where they've almost got an advantage because none of their players will get COVID for the next month and a half?
Well, that's the theory, and clearly you and I aren't experts on this, but I think as a general rule, that is what most people are suggesting, that if a team is going to get it, we don't want anyone to get it, and we don't want to spread it, none of that, but let's just take the hypothetical. Some of your team's going to get it, my understanding, you're better off if the entire team gets it, provided everyone's safe, have the SMS blowing up, provided everything's okay, that if they all get it, then it's less likely over that extended period that you're going to have one or two that are going to get it again in that short period of time. What I think is the worst case scenario is if you've got two or three get it, they come back. They have a spell. You continue on, and then 4 weeks later, another two get it, and then another. It can be very disruptive, and you're going to miss a lot of games because of the rules that are in place with the NBL and certain states, which we support. We do. I'm not. You know, we absolutely support that. But yeah, that can be very disruptive.
So who are you liking specifically? Melbourne United's got a run going right now, and they look. I mean,
yes.
We all talked pre-season about the fact they'd lost Jock Landale, but it's just starting to get some momentum right now. Bryce Cotton, Vic Law are best dynamic duo in the competition, but the Wildcats went down to the 36ers in a surprise. So is it Melbourne United you like most?
Well, when you think of that game where the Adelaide 36ers against the Wildcats, and that's one where the Wildcats, because of the uncertainty of when they're actually going to get back to be able to play any home games, they are in a similar situation to the New Zealand Breakers in that they may not get too many home games this season. So that's another element to it. But you can, you know, the Wildcats are going, whenever you've got Vic Law and Bryce Cotton on the same team, I think you're in pretty good hands. You don't need to surround it with too much to be highly competitive. They are that good. But the Illawarra Hawks is the team that I really like. Now, they dropped that game against Melbourne United on the weekend, and Melbourne United have been fantastic. Elite-level defence. Their defence has been off the charts, and if they can maintain that, the Melbourne United are going to be hard to beat. But you look at the top seven for the Illawarra Hawks, they are really, really good. And Sam Froling is having an unbelievable season. This is a kid that the son of a former NBL player in Shane Froling. He's been fantastic. And Tyler Harvey can shoot the lights out. Jessup is an NBA draft pick. And Duop Reith, who was on our Boomer squad, he has been a sensation. So there's a lot to like about the Illawarra Hawks.
So we've been arguing all season. Corey Homicide-Williams threw it out there, and I took the bait and went with him for a while as to Bryce Cotton, the greatest.
Don't do that, Wayne.
Import.
Don't do that. Don't get back in.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden the calls came. Don't forget Ricky Grace. Don't forget your mate. By the way, how'd you go golf today, all right?
I had a lazy one. It was just one of those casual ones, but with Leonard, I got a hold of him yesterday. So today was just a sort of a warm down type arrangement.
Who does he reckon's the greatest that's ever come here and played? Leonard, has he got a? Does he want to weigh into the debate that he's in?
Well, I think he would say himself. Yeah. Leonard would absolutely vote for himself, and with some substance, by the way. He's a grand final MVP in '97. Probably unlucky not to be the grand final MVP when Ricky Grace won it in a losing side in '93. And Leonard Copeland is a superstar. There's no doubt about that. But here's the thing. And this is what it's hard because a lot of the current day people, you're looking at the greatness of these guys running around right now. Bryce Cotton is the one that most people are going to look to. But how anyone doesn't, in the same breath, say Leroy Loggins, or absolutely say, in my view, Bryce has still got a bit of work to do to overtake Leroy as not just the greatest import, but the greatest of all time. Leroy was a basketball savant. He was a genius. And he is one that I think he should be in everyone's conversation when you're talking about the greatest of all time.
So let me throw another curveball at you then, Gazy. Who's the greatest ever to come here and play for a little stint? Is there a chance that LaMelo Ball might be that guy?
Well, I think that as far as what they do post their NBL career, but Dwayne, his numbers, he only played 14 games, or 12 games. Mm. His numbers, his shooting percentages were very modest, and his team only won four or five games.
Yeah, forget his NBL output, but is he likely at some stage, given the way the skyrocket of his career is headed, is there a chance that one day we will look at him as being the greatest basketball player from the US ever to have come to Australia and played a game in the NBL?
Very good question. And I think right now, when you look at both him and Josh Giddey, that it's a line ball. It is a line ball. And that's saying something because LaMelo Ball last season was spectacular. But Josh Giddey has just been extraordinary. He's a walking triple-double waiting to happen. He may not get a lot of triple-doubles, but if you look at his past, or even across his whole season, he might average a triple-double, if that makes any sense. So he's not necessarily getting in the same games, but he's contributing in a variety of different ways, and he's only 19. So I think that when you look at the trajectory of both those two, then they would be ones that you would be looking at. And they're a long way off it right now because they just don't have the body of work. But they have started their careers in spectacular fashion. And I think the advantage that people are going to have, if it is a line ball between those two, naturally we're biased because we love Australians and we're going to think of Josh Giddey. But also Josh has got the added bonus that he is going to have a long career playing with the Boomers as well.
Yeah, and that will endear him to all of us because he's a leader, he's a great kid, and for those people who haven't actually seen the way he goes about it, I think he's admired by everybody across the world and length and breadth of the world. Great to have you, Gazy. Always good to be able to pick your brain. We'll talk some NBA some other time. The NBL back on again this Friday night, Brisbane and Sydney Friday night, Adelaide and Melbourne United. Saturday game, I think it's a 5:30 start game. It's 36's home game, but if you're a Melbourne United fan, that's when your next game is. And if you're a Phoenix fan, your next game is Sunday, 3 o'clock, against the Jack Jumpers. And you'll see Gazy on your television screen bringing it to you. Great to have you, Gazy. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, good man, Vino. Thanks very much.
Andrew Gaze has just walked off the golf course, having played with Leonard Copeland, and that dynamic duo will be on ESPN, Fox Sports and KO, bringing you the games this weekend. We need to take a break. Dwayne's Ward for Kogan Mobile, just $4.90 for 30 days.